Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Are you doing well?
Yes.
Are you doing well?
Yes.
Come on. Great. Just if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, just want to talk for I'll kind of cut short what I was going to say in full, but just want to follow on a bit from what Pastor Colin was talking about last week in terms of being an apostolic church. Just want to tie a few things together very briefly at the beginning about this year. And a lot of the months leading up to the summer, we had a whole theme of devoting ourselves to Him. And God brought us a word, I think, sometime in February, I think, about being devoted to Him, being devoted to one another and to His purposes. And that set in motion a whole number of months where we were just giving ourselves in a fresh way to Him. And there was a whole kind of, I don't know, a fairly weighty word that He brought to set that whole thing off from Job and then from Isaiah 45. We won't go into it now, haven't got time, but that kind of set a whole thing of being freshly devoted to Him. And as we've been going through the autumn time, kind of linked into that, God did something fresh at Faith Camp, and we've been not just living in the good of that, basking in it, but we've been wanting to move on with God since the summer. And God has really emphasized His lordship, the authority of His word, and how we respond to that in terms of our being submitted to Him and to the authority of His word. And I know personally, particularly in the revival days we had a month or so ago, where God really emphasized certain things in all of that. And since then, I suppose probably most of us, if not all of us, have responded to the Lord in some way in relation to what He's been saying. And I know for me, I've been a lot more aware of my response in all sorts of situations, in my thinking, in what I might say, in how I am, I suppose, in different ways. And I'll be much more aware of certain truths, I think, that we hear a lot and think outwork in certain ways. But when you kind of come back fresh to it and God shines His light afresh on something, it just sharpens up your thinking and your attitudes or your response and all of that. But God has really been speaking about the lordship of who He is and the lordship and authority of His word and what that means in terms of honouring Him and honouring. Leadership and one another, and how we really want to walk in His ways. And it's like God's been lining us up or getting order in place coming into next year. And as I've been praying about next year, two words that God has given me is about 2009 being a year of effectiveness and fruitfulness. And if you're going to be effective, then you're going to be fruitful. And sometimes we can spend a lot of time trying to produce the fruit, okay? When actually God is just saying, no, just be effective in what you do. And if you're effective in what you do, then you will bear fruit. It's like when you plant something in the ground, for whatever reason, you cannot make that seed produce fruit. What you do is the effective things with that seed, and somehow the seed, with whatever you do with it and with the soil and the water and all of that thing, those things all combine to produce the fruit. The temperature and everything that goes on around it. But in one sense, there's probably nothing that you could quite say yourself, well, I produce the fruit that you see there. What you say is, well, I put the seed in the ground and I watered it and I prayed for some sunshine and a bit of rain and this and that and the other. And between all of that lot, all of that produced the fruit. I was involved in maybe kind of doing a few bits, but the fruit came. You can never say, I produced those apples on that apple tree or those grapes on that vine or those strawberries on that whatever strawberry thing you grow strawberries on, and or those potatoes under the ground. How many of you have got an allotment? Not many. Apparently, it's the latest thing to have. It's like it's taken over from PS3s and from having the latest gadgets, iPods. Having an allotment is the latest thing to do. The price of allotments is going through the roof. Is that right? So there's a few pioneers of allotments here. So we've got some very amazing people amongst us who are growing their own vegetables. Bless you. Have a great time doing it. So if anybody wants to have an allotment for Jane and me, that's fine. But that's not my deal. If you want to bring spuds round, strawberries round, then that's fine. We'll eat them. But anyway, let's get into the word, shall we? Ephesians chapter 4. Just want to follow on a little bit. And I want to link this scripture with another one in Matthew 28. Just for a few minutes. Last week, Pastor Colin spoke about what does it mean to be an apostolic church? And he put a list up on the board there. And on the left, it said traditional kind of pastoral mindset of the church. And the right-hand one was talking about an apostolic mindset, or what is an apostolic church. And the list that he put up contrasts different thinking and different ways of actions and different ways of living as a believer. And in some ways, you could see it was quite black and white. But obviously, there are some things on the traditional pastoral list, if you like, that you don't just throw out and say we have absolutely nothing to do with those. What we're saying is that the pastoral traditional mindset is we don't build and develop the life of the church around those things. We build and develop the church around the apostolic call upon the church. I mean, the church in general is called to be apostolic. Talking to Pastor Colin during the week, he was saying that in the first century, the church called itself holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And the word Catholic there, not meaning what it maybe represents today in terms of our thinking of a religion, but saying holy in terms of the church saw itself as holy, set apart for God's purposes. Catholic meaning universal, okay? That what God wanted to do was if we can say all-inclusive, the gospel's for every person to respond to, that the church is to be universal, to reach every person, every tribe, every tongue, but apostolic and being sent to fulfill that purpose, if you like. And so the church in the first century described itself as a very sent people, as a we now have what we have, not just to do what we want to do for ourselves, but we have what we have now to take it to the four corners, if there are corners of the world, to the whole sphere roundness of what the world is, okay? And they had that understanding. And I believe that God wants the church to have that understanding that we saw last week. And to be living that out. And some of that's an understanding. Some of that's a way of thinking. And and obviously some of that is then how we live out our lives. Okay. Like one of the things last week, it says a traditional pastoral teaches people, but a apostolic church trains people for ministry. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean in an apostolic church you don't teach people? No. But in a pastoral traditional mindset of a church, you stand up and you just teach something, but there's no expectation that anybody's going to do anything with it. Whereas in this setting, for us in an apostolic situation, we teach and we bring the word and we train so that it's to help people live an effective Christian life. But also, if you add on to it the aspect of making disciples is not just helping you have a better relationship with God. Making disciples is helping you to put the word into action in your life, but then also in a way that you can then help others put the word into action in their life. Is that right? And so that it doesn't mean we just, you know, to have a pastoral mindset means we're just there and lovey-dovey, and in apostolic church you just whip people till they do everything you want them to do. Man, the fivefold ministry is made up of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So those five giftings and ministries within the fivefold there that is spoken about in Ephesians 4, we're going to look at in a minute, they're given to train and equip the people for works of service. So if you think about a pastor for a minute, what is the purpose of a pastor? The pastor's there to shepherd the people. But what does a shepherd do? The shepherd helps to lead the people where they need to go. But you see, the traditional pastoral mindset of a church is that you just look after the people and are lovey-dovey with them. You don't upset them. But that's not real pastoring.
That's right.
Real pastoring is actually being a shepherd. where you lead the people, and as you lead them, you don't just leave them behind and say, well, if you're not going to keep up, sorry, see you later. Because with a shepherd, he leads them. The sheep know his voice. Therefore, he leads them into green pastures. They know they're going to go into a place where they're going to be get the food they need, and they're going to grow and become more healthy. But a pastor is there to make sure that the sheep are moving in the right direction, not just to be in the sheep. See, some of the thinking is, well, a leader is out the front leading, and a pastor's just in the middle of the sheep doing all the there. Don't mind the leader, he's just on one today, but we'll get over it, but let's just keep moving with him anyway. But I know he's being a bit off the wall today and a little bit strong today or a little bit directional, but that's all right. That's not what the pastor's there to do. The pastor is there to help be part of the fivefold in terms of leading the people forward, okay, but and part of them making disciples. So leadership's got to be embedded into the life of the church. Leadership isn't, when leadership's out front, it doesn't mean you're just walking out front and then 3 miles later you realise there's such a straggle you can't even see the back of the thing, the sheep back there. Leadership's got to be out front in terms of where we're going, what we're doing, this is what God's saying. But also leadership's got to be embedded into the life of the people. But what is leadership? Leadership in one sense is made up of the different giftings you see in Ephesians 4. So they're there to train and equip. How do you train and equip? You've got to be amongst the people to do it. You've got to be involved in people's lives to do it. And so that ministry of the pastor is there to help disciple. It's helped to train and equip people in certain ways, okay? And part of that is to make sure that the body is healthy, okay? But it's partly it's a way of thinking, okay? See, a pastoral traditional mindset is people come to church and they say, that you're the pastor, we pay you to do it all. We turn up, hopefully we'll have a good time of worship and a good word for the week, pay our money or tithes or whatever, and then pastor, you come round and look after me, or you make sure that the church is going in the right direction. That is a very traditional mindset. It's a pastoral mindset that the vicar, the minister, the pastor, is you're paid, so you're supposed to do a lot of this stuff, okay? But that's not an apostolic mindset. An apostolic understanding says we together are a body of people and we together are going to move forward in the purposes of God. Because there's a ministry for every person in the body. That's why Paul talks a lot about the body. I mean, if we read this, it will probably help to succinct it into a bit more than I'm going on, you know, this morning. But, well, let's read it. That'd probably be helpful, wouldn't it? Verse 11 of chapter 4. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Those fivefold things there, okay, there's two parts to each one of them, as far as I understand. Each one of those fivefold things is supposed to operate in leadership in some way to give direction and to help the body move forward, okay? So an apostle comes in and brings an apostolic word. A prophet comes in, brings a prophetic word. Now, I think during the week, Pastor Colin mentioned something that, you know, you've got the word, you've got logos and you've got rhema. Logos is the eternal word that never changes, okay? And then you've got rhema, which is like the now word that God is speaking into a situation, okay? And so a prophet will come in and bring a now word into the situation that can help with the direction that the church is moving in, okay? Then you've got evangelists. They're going to go out and save the world, okay? You've got pastors. They need to function in pastoral giftings and pastor people. Then you've got teachers who are going to teach the people. But also, those five giftings are also to be amongst the people, to train and equip the people to move in the things of God also, not just to minister to the people. Okay, so there's a second part, if you like, or this part that, you know, if I can try and explain it like this, and so the evangelist comes and he doesn't just stand up and preach the gospel so that people are saved and everybody goes, I'm glad the evangelist was here today because people got saved. Actually, the evangelist's job is to help equip you and me to be effective in the way we reach unsaved people. The pastor is there not just to pastor the people, but actually to help raise up and develop pastoral giftings in the life of the church. That's why Pastor Gary's doing a phenomenal job, you know, because he's raising up 35, 40 other people in the congregation to help pastor and to disciple and deal with situations that arise and things that go on, okay? Because his way of thinking is much more apostolic than just, I'm here to carry the burden of all of the things that people need. It's like there are different ones of you in the body that have got different giftings relating to the pastoral ministry in different areas of life that you've that God has gifted you in to help people break through in or help to bring them set free from and to begin to help them begin to walk in freedom from those things. Okay? And increasingly, we're going to have more and more stuff like that because of a lot of the people that we're beginning to reach in their lives and all kinds of scenarios that are going on. And so the fivefold also has this dual thing of out front leading, giving direction and ministering to the people, but also then training and equipping to release the people. Okay? And so, let's read on. Okay? Verse 11. So we've got the fivefold giftings there. Verse 12, to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. Okay, that's the training and the equipping. To train people. Now, the word equip there, I don't know if you've got an NIV, but it just says, you know, to prepare. If you've got, how many of you read the New King James? Okay, well, the New King James got a much better word for it. It says equip, okay, the people. Now, the word equip there, which is much more of a specific meaning, the word equip there is to make fit, to prepare, to train. Listen to this, to perfect or to make fully qualified for service. That's what the word equip means, okay? To make fully qualified for service. Listen to this. Now, the other meaning, that in sort of the classical meaning for this, if you like, the word equipping or the word to equip means to set a bone during surgery. So what is God saying here when he says here the fivefold is here to equip the body for works of service? He's here to join the body together, to make it all fit together so that it's an effective body of people in terms of what God's call is. So to fuse all the bones together in the right way so there are no breaks, no fractures, no joints out of place, but everything is joined together in the right way to make sure that there is nothing out of place or out of joint. Okay? That's what the word equipping means. There's a lot there, aren't there? But the word equip there is to do all of that, okay? Let's have a read on. To equip people to be that for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, okay, or edified. Now, the word edified there, which again is in the New King James, not the NIV, the word edified there actually means to concrete. It talks about a compound, a substance of something. The modern word for that compound is called concrete. And so part of this, are you all right with this? Yeah. All right. You all sound very quiet this morning. I'm just sort of with you guys. But it's so the body of Christ may be built up. So the body of Christ may be concreted together. Wow. Bonded together. There's a strength when something's concreted than when it isn't. You know, if you put a fence post in, you just put it in the earth and there's no concrete around it, give it a bit of wet weather and a bit of wind and the thing is moving around like anything. You concrete a post in properly and it doesn't matter what's going to, the fence might blow down, but the post is going to stand there saying, come on, come and take me if you can. But the post is still going to say, I'm concreted in it and there's no way I'm going over. And this is the strength of what God is talking about this morning, of us as a body of people, okay? That we're being equipped, okay? Made fit, prepared, perfected, made fully qualified. We're being set like a bone in place and formed together like concrete, the strength of that and everything, okay? Until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, okay? Now, what does that all that mean? Well, knowledge there means understanding and revelation, okay? It means a living reality of who Jesus is. Knowledge there isn't just cognitive knowledge that is, I know that in my mind, okay? Knowledge there means actually to have an understanding and a revelation that helps me to live the reality of what this Jesus or what the Word is all about, okay? And so if we kind of read through this again, it says here, until we reach the unity in the faith and in the reality, the living reality and the living revelation of the Son of God becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So in 2009, and we have loads of opportunities as a people. And there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes at the moment, but 2009 is going to expand as we go into next year. There are just immediately on our doorstep in Roffey and South Holmes, there are things just going on behind the scenes. That there's some amazing possibilities and opportunities that we're just kind of talking with the council and with other groups, and things that we're already doing, things, certain projects that we might partner with, but also things that I know for my heart, for me, during this year, been growing in my heart, and I know some of the other leaders, as we've been talking and praying through the year, about just a growing sense that God really wants us to reach and impact Roffey and South Holmes as our immediate kind of back garden, if you like, as a church. And some of the needs and issues that have been identified in that whole region. There's about 20,000, 22,000 people that live in Roffey and South Holmes. That's a third of the population of Horsham live right on the doorstep of the church here. And there's some great opportunities, possibilities just coming into next year. And so we're going to have quite an emphasis through the year, particularly from April onwards, Easter onwards, in the Roffey and South Holmes area. We're going to be increasing what we're going to be doing there and the possibilities of what God wants us as a body to be doing. I really felt as a church, God wants us to have like a sense of ownership, if you like. I bet it's easy to pray for the town and this and that and the other. But I already felt God say, as a people that certainly live in Horsham, you know, we really want to have an ownership to see a particular community, the whole atmosphere of it and the feel of it totally change over the next few years because of the way God wants us to begin to reach lives and see what he wants to do in that region. Roffey's been recognised by the council as the neediest area in Horsham, okay? And in Horsham and District, along with another area just outside of Horsham, there's another area in Roffey, the two neediest areas in the whole of the Horsham and District region. And that's right on our doorstep. And it's like, wow, that's not right. That is not right. And so we need to see God bring a change in there through us in that place. And so that's our immediate thing, 25-mile radius. There's things developing out in different towns in the 25-mile radius, and we're going to be moving out into those more effectively next year. God's been speaking to us in the eldership and leadership about operating on a more apostolic way, and we're just praying through that, talking through that, and maybe we'll describe a bit more of that on the vision night and on the 14th of January. When we come together as to what that might look like and how we're going to move forward. But it's going to involve more than just one or two people going and doing this and that and the other. We want to mobilise the body to begin to be more effective in how we reach out beyond our own back garden, beyond our own town, if you like. And I know some of you live out in some of the towns out there. And so God is for next year, want us to be more intentional in the way we move out. Some great stuff beginning to happen in different places. But it's like God wants to move that up a whole nother gear in 2009 in the region. Got things developing around the nation more and relating churches and how people want to relate to us. And some of the things going on there we'll maybe talk about on the 14th of January as well. But it's and internationally, there's other opportunities. And so on in all different levels, or if you concentric or circles going out, whatever, however you want to describe it, the apostolic grace upon our lives is, and that's why last week's word was so important to understand, that as a congregation, as a people, as a church, that our mindset isn't just to be a local community mindset in our thinking. That to be an apostolic people, and really this is a call for the church, is you've got to reach your local community in the area, but also God has made you part of something that impacts a region, and on an apostolic basis, you're part of something that is to affect the nation and nations. And part of our expression of that, if you like, is the 24/7 prayer strategy that is unfolding. There's been a lot of prayer. I know some great testimonies coming back. And I don't know if you guys have still got this card that we asked you to sign and put it in your Bible and say, right, this is what I'm giving myself to pray at this 1 hour in the week relating to this specific area of what we're all involved in. And if you look at that card, okay, just to describe it for a minute, it's in 12 two-hour sections or gates, gates as we've called them. And each gate represents a different aspect of who we are, who Kingdom Faith is. For example, We've got here one gate, which is 12 midnight to 2 in the morning at the moment, is Israel. And what God has spoken to us about Israel to be a lead boat and to help bring understanding to the church in this nation as to what God's purposes are for Israel. And we're taking trips over there. We're supporting people there. We want to develop things so we're not just taking trips and tours to see what's happening, but so we can send people on short-term mission trips and things like that as well. But there's a two-hour time where we're praying into Israel, and there's a load of stuff in there as to how to pray for that. Another one is overseas missions. That's another two-hour slot. We're praying for all our missionaries and all the stuff that is going on overseas, okay? The next one after that is the United Kingdom from 4 in the morning till 6, praying for the nation. And there's loads of information about how we're praying for the nation. Then the next one after that is the harvest. There's 2 hours of praying into the harvest. So there's two-hour sections of different ways we've broken down the vision, the call, and what we're about. And there's lots of information within that as to how to pray and nations that you can pray within those times. And so it's pretty straightforward in one sense when you kind of take a few moments to look at it. But each one is a gate. And what are we doing when we're praying? We're consistently praying God's will into being. God doesn't need us to pray. God does not need us to pray. We don't pray for God's benefit. That's what I mean. Prayer is actually for our benefit and for all those that we need to reach. That's what the prayer's for. See, God has already decided what he wants to do, and he is already able to do whatever he has decided to do. So what prayer is us agreeing with him so that we come into line with his purposes, so that why are we praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every month, is so that we are consistently, as a people, releasing the purposes of God. We're consistently praying God's will into being. So whenever we pray, we're not doing God a favour, and we're not kind of, all right, Jesus, you know, I'm doing your, I'm good, and I, whatever. It's actually understanding, man, we need to pray so that we move more fully in the purposes of God, so that we will then see what God has already decided, but the prayer unlocks what God wants to do so that it can, there can be a release to see it happen, okay? And that's why we're praying consistently round the clock. How many of you know consistent prayers are going to get consistent answers? How many of you know that specific prayers get specific answers? And that's why if there's more prayer going on and more people being involved, the Holy Spirit can speak to different people to pray his will into being. If there's only one person, there's only so much you can pray on your own. When there's a couple of people praying, there's a bit more you can pray in agreement. But when there's more people praying over a longer period of time, there's more that God can download to then release and unlock of his purposes. Do you get that? And so this is part, in one sense, of us being an apostolic church, that we're praying for the nations. He said, didn't he, a few years ago, you're a house of prayer for all nations. And so we want to be obedient to that and put that into action and into operation. Okay, let's just read on for a moment because, oh dear, yeah, got a couple of minutes. Right, verse 14, then, because of all these previous things, the fivefold training, equipping people for works of service and understanding the things we've already looked at, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware, but Ephesus at the time was the central place of idol worship. It was the central place of occult activity. It was the main place where sacrifice was done in terms of human sacrifices, philosophies, all kinds of stuff. Ephesus was like the center of all of that kind of stuff. And so in the middle of that situation, Paul is encouraging these guys. He said, look, if we operate according to the pattern that Jesus has laid down, if we move together in unity as a body of people, if we're having a greater revelation of Jesus, not just in terms of I know that now, but we're living it out because it's a living reality. If we're moving together in the fullness of Christ, then the the philosophies that are going on around us, the other religions that are going on around us, the other false teachings and lifestyles that are going on around us, the other, whatever the world is shouting about around us, whatever the world says, this is the thing to be into. If we're moving together in the midst of that culture and that environment, then we're going to bring a kingdom that is going to gradually overcome all of that stuff, that's going to begin to make a difference. It's going to begin to push all that back and change the environment, the atmosphere, the feel, the flavor of a community, of a town or a region or a nation, but it's going to take an apostolic people to do that.
That's right.
So there'll no longer be so in one sense, we can, you know, our culture, we don't have human sacrifice in public, but there's stuff like that going on behind the scenes in this nation in terms of occult and witchcraft. There's stuff going on, and then all the other stuff that are more visible is going on. And God has called us as a people, as a kingdom people, to be in the middle of all this lot, bringing something different. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 14 there, talking about a stability coming into the life of the church. You'll be a stable people if we're moving together in unity. Verse 15 is talking about a people of integrity, that we are living what we are saying. Okay? Instead speaking the truth in love, then it says, we will in all things grow up into him. We'll become mature. We will grow. There's an integrity thing there. Okay? Then verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What's going on there? There's spiritual growth, but there's also numerical growth. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every support, that's all of us lot. We are the body, we are the supporting ligaments, we are the bits and pieces, if you like, between all of us that make up this awesome body of Christ, okay? And so we are built, we're joined together and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's a place for everybody in what God is doing. There's a part that brings health into the life of the thing as everybody does its work together, okay? Oh, we haven't really got time now, but if Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, it's the Great Commission. And it says in there that Jesus, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. Then he said, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he says, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. Okay? So he states this thing, this command. Here's the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission goes hand in hand with what we've just read in Ephesians 4. Because what's the work of the body? What is the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry? What is it? It's to make disciples. To make disciples, you either take hold of someone that's already a believer and begin to help them walk in the purposes of God more fully, or you have to go and find someone that doesn't know Jesus, see them saved, and begin to help them grow and become part of the body so that they also begin to fulfill what God wants to do in them. So what does a disciple look like? We can't draw on that. I could spray on it, but the guys wouldn't be happy if I sprayed on it. I wouldn't either, because we'd have to buy another one. But what's a disciple? A disciple who has got a grown relationship with God. How'd you do that? Prayer, word, and worship, right? So you grow in the things of God that way. Also, a disciple isn't just somebody who has a growing relationship with God. A disciple is somebody, this is very potted, I was going to spend a bit more time on this, is somebody who's got grown relationships within the body, but also grown relationships outside of the body. So therefore, you get this cross effect, prayer, worship, word, fellowship with the believers, outreach to the lost. Right at the heart of that, as Big J, has got to be Jesus. Has he not? And so he's got to be right at the centre of the worship, the word and the prayer, but he's also got to be right in the heart of our fellowship. How many of you like that word? Fellowship. Our life together, okay, and the way we are with each other. But also he's got to be right at the heart of reaching out, because it's only him that can save people and change people. Now for me, that is a disciple. Okay? A disciple isn't somebody who's got a growing walk with God, and that's a disciple, and then you do a bit of evangelism. It's like it's the whole lot together. It's like an obedient Christian in action. That's what it is.
That's right.
All right? It's called the discipleship wheel or whatever. Some of you might have been in something. Anyway, that's a healthy individual, but it also means if you're like that, you're going to have a healthy church. But that kind of thinking, okay, is apostolic thinking. Because we're here not just for ourselves and a few bits and pieces and we might see the odd thing happen, but we're actually, as we mature, we understand that as well as God meeting our needs, as we walk with him, our walk isn't based around him meeting our needs. Now, there's a maturity thing, because at first when somebody gets saved, there needs to be some great input into their lives to help them get a grip of who God is, what he's doing, and what it means to live this life. But at the same time, how do you know that when somebody's saved, they're the best people to save somebody else? But in terms of understanding and living your life, not for yourself, that's a thing that also is a mature thing. As you grow in maturity, you realize my life's not my own, it belongs to him. And on the way, God meets your needs. But how many of you know that truth that where Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. And so therefore, our lives are based on being a people who give rather than receiving first. But there's a kingdom principle that's opposite to the world. As you give, in the giving, you receive. And so that is a maturing thing as well. But these two things, Ephesians 4, fivefold ministry, equipping the saints for work of ministry so the body of Christ can be built up and people of unity and maturity and all that, along with Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, or around the corner, around the block, next door, the far side of the world, wherever it is. Those two things go hand in hand. Because an apostolic people are people who make disciples. And for me, I know recently this is one of the things that we want to get more to grips with in terms of what's happening, in terms of that discipleship dynamic, really, in the life of the church here. And another level of equipping the saints, if you like, all of us, to be more effective in the work of the ministry or whatever God has part of the body he's made us and what we're involved in the life of the thing. And so next year, we're going to have a year of effectiveness and fruitfulness. Okay. I could say effective fruitfulness, okay? There's two kinds of fruit. There's fruit that can just go off after a while because it's for a short season, or there's fruit that will remain. The fruit that God produces remains.
That's right.
The fruit that we try and produce might be all right at the beginning. Well, it's working, isn't it? But there doesn't seem to be that eternity in it because we've done it.
Right.
And so God wants us to be effective and fruitful. But he wants us to focus on being effective. He said, if you're effective and you put the right ingredients together, then I'll produce the fruit.
That's right.
So that's why I think Jesus, when he looked over Jerusalem and he wept and he had compassion and he said, they're like a people without sheep, without a shepherd, you know, and the harvest is plentiful. And now's the time for the harvest. Let's pray for the workers. Because Jesus understood that actually the prayer is not for God, it's more for us, to help the workers to be more effective in the doing of whatever, in the harvest field or wherever God's called us, so that then God produces the fruit through effective workers. And so wherever you are, whatever job, whatever business, whatever home, whatever your situation, next year God is speaking over us effectiveness and fruitfulness. At all sorts of different levels, effective in your business, effective in your company, effective in your home and your household, effective wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, so that it then produces fruit, but fruit that's going to remain. Amen? Let's all stand up, shall we? See, an apostolic way of thinking is an expectation of something to happen. I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting the situation to change. I'm looking for a different result. See, why is that? Because we have a dynamic of faith here. And when you apply the word or when you apply faith to something, something has to change. It's got to be different. Something has to move because faith brings life where there isn't life. Faith brings a change where something needs to change. Faith produces something where there's nothing being produced. Faith is looking for something to become different than it is already. That's why we can be so positive in our outlook and our conversation. When we're speaking with people at work or unsaved neighbours or whoever it might be, we can be so positive about life because our words and what we say are not based on circumstances or what people are going through. Our words are based on God's promises as to who he is and what he says about life. Therefore, we can come with a hope. We can come with something different. Why? Because it is all connected with having an apostolic mindset. See, an apostolic way of thinking, it's not a hard thing. See, an apostolic mindset and way of thinking and is one, it's like we're here to see God change everything around us. We're not just here to do church and have a great time and enjoy ourselves. Man, God wants us to have a great time, to enjoy life and all of that. I mean, he's put us on the earth so that we really enjoy life. He wants people to get saved as soon as they can in their life so they actually have a great life. It's not just, well, I'll save you now and you can just be really grumpy and nerdy and whatever for the rest of your life serving me. And then when you get to heaven, you can suddenly go, oh, I'm glad life's over. Now I'm here with you. It's like, yeah, there are troubles, there's opposition and all of that. But Jesus said it was because of the joy that was set before me that I could endure the cross. He knew the joy on the other side. We know the joy on the other side. That's why today we can look at joy, not a person, but at life, and enjoy it. Enjoy the journey and what God's doing with an expectation of breakthroughs and things happening through us because that's who we are. You are a person of breakthrough. You have a spirit of faith. You have a dynamic of life in you. If you've got Christ in you, you've got life in you to change things, to see a difference. It's Christ in you working through you. Man, it's cool being saved, isn't it? Come on, let's just raise our hands. Let's thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, this morning that we met with you in the worship and in communion. How many of you got healed this morning? How many know something happened in your body? Just raise one of your hands. If you know something changed in your body this morning. Some of you. Father, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. But Father, I thank you. You've anointed every one of us to see sick people healed. Father, I thank you. You've anointed us to take your gospel and to see other people's lives impacted. Father, I thank you that this week, every day is an opportunity to see something happen in somebody's life, to see their lives touched by you in some way this week. Father, I thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit, especially during this time where we're going to see lots of family or friends we might not see very often, maybe some that we don't brilliantly get on with. But Father, I thank you for a grace this week in every one of our lives to be very gracious, to be full of love, to have a real heart of compassion, that we would just, as we're with people, we might not get on with sometimes because we have these family times, or for some maybe it's more difficult, or whatever goes on in amongst different ones of us at different times. Father, I thank you for a great grace to be upon every person, especially where there could be conflict, there could be tensions, disagreements, all of that. Father, I thank you for great wisdom also, how to love, how to serve, how to be in those situations. And that your love and the way that your nature is expressed through people, us lot, this week in different situations, would just cause cracks to open up in people's hearts and lives so that there can begin to be a step in of your life into their lives this week, a breaking of hardness and factions and dissensions and all of that lot that might be there, that we can see something change this week because we're going in with an expectation. We're going in with a hope. We're going in with something that is certain that God's going to do something this week in somebody's life or over the next 10, 12 days over this period. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I thank you that we're part of an apostolic church moving forward to see this community change, this region, this nation, the nations change. Father, we're part of something that's massive going on all over the earth, this kingdom of yours that is advancing forcefully. We thank you that you're at work and we're part of it. It's awesome, Jesus. We thank him. We praise your mighty name. Come on, let's just thank him that you're part of something awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.